The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Welcome to The Bad Broadcast. I'm your host, Maddie Murphy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. My name is Maddie. I'm your host, and I am so pleased that you've decided to join me on this Bad Monday. Ever since becoming a parent, I've made a lot of observations. There's just things you don't realize happen to people that have children. And I would like to share those things with you guys as I discover them. I know so many of you guys listening are moms. And again, I just feel very bonded to you all now. Like I knew so many of you guys were moms before I became one myself. Like I heard from a lot of you guys were doing, you know, night feedings and listening to the podcast or like carpool drop off, whatever it is. And I just felt so honored by that because your time is precious as a mother. Like every minute counts. That's not an exaggeration. I am the most productive I've ever been in my life just because I know my time is limited. So I have to make the most out of every free minute. You know what I mean? Like when I used to record before I had a baby, I mean, I lollygagged for hours. I mean, I would just go to the studio. I would just, you know, like do some Googling about like the topic. I would read a few submissions. I'd go get some lunch. I'd come back. I'd like work on a little graphic for a while. I'd take a little nap. I'd come back to the submissions. Like I was not efficient. I was not efficient. Now I know, like I got to get this shit done. So I'm down here. I'm pumping these out. I'm much more efficient than I used to be during nap time specifically. So anyway, I've made some observations this week and, you know, let me know if you would like to keep hearing these because I'm bursting at the seams trying to talk about these. Luckily, you know, I have this microphone and I can talk about them. So yeah, here's a few things that I learned about parenting this week. Napping is pointless for me, not for her. Napping is pointless. I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but like if I'm not going to get like a 4 hour nap, 3 or 4 hour nap, like might as well not even try because Coco will go down and she'll take like a 45 minute nap sometimes. And like, to me, that's not even worth it for me to nap for 45 minutes. It's not going to make a huge difference in how I feel. What will make a difference is like in that 45 minutes, I can do the dishes. I can change the laundry. I can probably take a quick shower. I can make the bed. Those things will make a difference. Napping, like again, my time is limited. Like I got to make use of these minutes because now I'm at the point, I know I said this, I think it was during the bad advice episode when people are like, just nap when the baby naps. It's not possible with a fresh newborn, but now she's at the point where her naps are a little bit more regular. So I'm like, I probably could nap while she naps. That's when life happens. Life happens when babies are napping. So like I have to do my life while she's asleep. So every now and then I do take a little rest. I mean, if we're being honest, most of the time I do end up just rotting in bed and scrolling on my phone. Like I used to think that napping would be such a bigger priority than it is because I'm like, whatever, I'm going to be tired. If I have a 45 minute nap now, or if I just go to bed at a normal time with no nap, it's not going to make a huge difference. The next thing I learned, people really believe that you are out here asking for advice with every comment that you make about your baby, like every single one, everything I say about Coco, somebody has like a response to it, like for me to change it. I'll be like, oh, she's a great burper, which she is. She burps, that girl belches. And people will be like, well, have you tried like if you put her over your knee and then you burp her that way? I'm like, wait, when did I ask for advice in this scenario? I'm literally just telling you something about my baby. Like I'm sharing it. Or I'll be like, yeah, when she's, you know, laying down in her crib, she'll chew on her little like sleep sack thing. Like she'll, and they'll be like, well, have you tried? I'm like, no, I'm not asking. Like there's no problem here. She's not doing anything wrong. And if she was doing something wrong, I would be the one to ask for advice or like do the research or something to figure out what was going on. Like you don't need to give me feedback actually on anything, like on basically anything that I'm asking. I will be very explicit when I'm asking for somebody's help with my baby. Like, hey, do you think that this is happening? What do you think could improve that? If I'm not saying those words, don't offer me advice. Okay. With that said, I'm going to eat my words for a second. I do think that we should do like a mom hack episode. Like, I feel like there's so many little hacks that people don't think of when it comes to motherhood. And like when I was doing the mom fail episode, some people were messaging me like, oh, try this, whatever, which is great. I think that moms, you know, in solidarity, sharing advice is a wonderful thing. So maybe we compile that all and we put it in an episode and then people can refer back to that. And then we don't have to offer people advice. I like have a problem. I don't know. Maybe other people feel this way, but like I get very, very flustered and overwhelmed by unsolicited advice. And again, maybe that's how a lot of us feel, but like I felt this way in pregnancy. I feel that way with my job. I feel that way with my relationship, with my baby. Like I don't want people's advice unless I am explicitly asking for it. And when I get it and I didn't ask for it, I get really kind of like, it like disturbs my homeostasis, you know, like it just, I'm not able to cope with it very well. And it's hard because I also think that I offer unsolicited, I mean, hello, look at this job and this podcast. Like sometimes I offer unsolicited advice and that's like basically what this episode is with your guys' secret confessions. It's just me like randomly shooting off advice that you can take or leave. Honestly, I've discovered that most of the things that I hate that people do, I do them. And I say this all the time because I'll talk about something like a behavior that I don't like that somebody does. And then like I a few months ago, I talked about the emoji reactions on Instagram. Like I hate them. Not when somebody like likes your story. It's when they send just an emoji. Like when they swipe up from your story and hit the emoji, that it like drives me crazy. I absolutely do it. And so people were messaging me like, sorry that I've done that before. Girl, you do not need to apologize for anything. You've done nothing wrong here. I'm just talking. I'm just saying stuff. I'm just complaining about something that was bothering me that week. You do not have to change your behavior for me. I promise. You are loved and welcome here despite your excessive use of emoji reactions in my DMs. I love you regardless. But yeah, so I think that people have good intentions when they offer unsolicited advice. And I see myself do it all the time too. But like, I'm trying to be more conscious of what people are actually saying when they're saying it to me. Like, is somebody asking for my opinion? Are they asking for my advice? Are they just wanting to say it out loud and then it's going to make them feel better? Probably. They just want to talk. They just want to talk about what's going on. For me, when I talk about Coco, I just want to share. I just want to like brag about her. I just want to like, she has this little water mat. She learned how to go up on her elbows and she tips over. It's not really a roll. Okay. It's a tip over, but we're getting there. And somebody was like, well, if you want to make them roll faster, I'm like, I'm just telling you how cool something is that she did. I don't want to change anything. I don't want advice. So yeah, I've learned that if you share anything about your baby, people are going to come at you with advice on how to fix it, even if it's something good. It's very weird. Next thing that I've observed, why are old people so obsessed with babies' feet being in socks or in shoes? Like every single person over the age of 50 that has interacted with my baby, if she doesn't have socks on, it's like I'm like holding her hostage. Like they act like I'm doing something like some unforgivable sin by letting my baby be barefoot, even if it's like warm, even if I'm at home. Like, I don't understand. Like, she's fine. Her feet are not cold. I don't get it. Let the baby exist without socks on. She's going to be fine. But every single time, they just have to, they have to comment. It's like they want to be the ones that discovered something about your baby. And I always just want to say, like, I'm her parent. I'm her mother. I'm the one who's with her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I promise you, I'm aware of everything. Like, you are not telling me any news when you say she doesn't have socks on, or when you like you're not discovering that she's hungry. I know she's not hungry. Like, I know when she ate last, believe it or not. I know when she slept last. Like, you're not breaking new ground here by saying like, oh, you're hungry. Oh, you're so tired. No, she's not. No, she's not. She's fine. Actually, her feet aren't cold. She is settled. She's just laying here. She doesn't need anything. I promise. I have this baby memorized. I know her forwards and backwards like nobody else, which honestly, is that not like the coolest thing ever? I just got to say, like, it's a lot. It's a lot to take on to care for a human life and understand them so well and just like have all of their behaviors memorized. Like, I know exactly how she's going to eat her bottle. I know she's going to eat 2 ounces and then she's going to burp and then she's going to want to lay down and then she's going to finish the other ounces and then she's going to want to burp and then she's going to go to sleep. Like, I know those behaviors. And then you seem like a crazy person. This is what really gets me. You seem like a crazy person when you're explaining it to somebody. Like, when you're like, okay, she's going to do this and then she's going to do this and then this is what she needs. And I feel like people will be like, okay, yeah. She's a baby. Like, I know what to do. No, I know this baby. Okay. And nobody else can tell me otherwise. I know her better than anybody else. So just listen to me. I know that you have to hold her a certain way and walk down the hall a certain way for her to get tired. Like, she's in a rhythm. She has her things and I know them anyway. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Dipsy. We use our phones for absolutely everything. Am I right? I use it for 100% of the tasks that I need to do. But did you know that you can also use it for some me time, perhaps some sexy me time? Don't worry, your fantasies are safe with Dipsy. Just don't forget to use your headphones. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. So you can discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, hot and heavy hookups, forced proximity, maybe. Whatever you're into, Dipsy has you covered. And there's a growing library of fantasy series with vampires, Greek gods, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. Also, they have soothing sleep stories and wellness sessions, and they have sexy written stories to read, whatever you're into. So let Dipsy be your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, relax and unwind, or even heat things up with a partner. For listeners of The Bad Broadcast, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/bad. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsea stories.com/bad. Once again, that is dipsystories.com/bad. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Clean Simple Eats. Do you guys know how much fun it is when you are already obsessed with a product and then they approach you for a partnership? It is the best feeling in the entire world because I get to rave about a product that I've been loving for months and months and months. Clean Simple Eats protein powder is the best protein powder out there. No contest. You guys have seen me rave about it on my Instagram stories lately. It's so good. Clean Simple Eats is exactly that. It is clean and it is simple. Their protein powder is always grass-fed with no seed oils, no artificial ingredients. It's third-party tested. It's non-GMO and it's also gluten-free. It's so creamy and smooth. I use it to make my protein ice cream that I eat every single night. The flavor range is incredible. Any flavor that you could possibly think of. Right now I'm loving the strawberry cheesecake. I also love the mint chocolate. That one is really good. My go-to is the vanilla and the chocolate brownie batter, but you really can't go wrong with any of their flavors. Oh, I tried the cake batter the other day. That one shot right to the top of my list. We all know how important it is to get enough protein in our diet, and it's really tough sometimes to hit those protein goals, but Clean Simple Eats is the most delicious and best way to do it. Each serving has 20 grams of protein, making it the perfect addition to make sure you hit your protein goals. So to try it out, visit cleansimpleeats.com and use the code BAD10 at checkout for 10% off of your order. Once again, that is cleansimpleeats.com, code BAD10 for 10% off of your order. Okay, there's my mom rant. I have a very sneaking suspicion that I'm going to have a lot of mom rants on the podcast, probably till the end of time. I won't be like, you know, it's just a weird time for the internet, and sharing kids. And like, there's this whole conversation going on about it on TikTok, and I don't know, but I will be sharing my experience in motherhood because it's all consuming. I mean, I am still the same person. Like I said last week, I think it was, like, I still very much have my identity as Maddie, and I really love that I feel that way, but my whole life is my daughter. And so, you know, it might leak onto the podcast every now and then. And I appreciate all of you who, every time I say that, you guys are all up in my DMs saying, we get it. We get it, girl. You talk about your daughter. We're here for it. And I just want to say, I appreciate that because I also feel that way about other people's kids. I want to hear about other people's kids. You guys have sent me pictures of your kids in my merch, doing funny things or reading books or whatever it is. And I love it. I love to see your kids. Okay, let's get on with the topic at hand, which is not motherhood related. It's secret related. We're doing some secret confessions. Okay. We're doing a confessional here. This is your confessional booth. Okay. I'm your confessional broad. I am here to absorb what you're feeling and absolve you of it, or maybe give you some advice. I put an anonymous question box up. Those anonymous question boxes are spooky. You never know what's going to come in. You never know, like, cause it's truly anonymous. I mean, all of my submissions are anonymous, but I feel like people don't believe me sometimes because it's like my own Google form. So maybe they think I'm like secretly collecting your email. Maybe somewhere in the metadata of it all, your email address exists. It is not accessible to me. Whenever I post a Google form, it is 100% anonymous. And you know what? I kind of wish it was not anonymous. That would be amazing because I've gotten some submissions that I would like more detail on, but whatever, that's beside the point. These anonymous submissions through the Not Gonna Lie app are 100% anonymous. And it's so funny because you post the link and then you get, you know, all these submissions, all these confessions coming through. And then once you stop using the app will start sending you like messages to try and like pique your interest, I think. So even though the link is not up on your story or anything, like I checked and I was like, why do I have new messages, new anonymous messages on this app? And it's like, I think I have a crush on you. And then the next one's like, want to hang this weekend? And the next one's like, tell me your thought. Like, it's just, it's obvious that they're trying to get you to use the app more. So anyway, I asked you guys for some secret confessions that you needed to get off your chest. And let's start with a big one that I don't think that I can speak toward. I shouldn't say I don't think, I know that I can't speak toward, but I just want to offer my support of you. A lot of people message me and they said, hey, I'm married. I'm with a guy. I think I might be gay. I think I might be bisexual. I think I might be queer. Like all of these different feelings that are coming up, even though you're married, you know, and in a heterosexual relationship. And to that, I say, know thyself. You got to know what you want to do. You got to know where your priorities lie. You got to know what is important to you. That needs to be communicated to your partner. I can't give you a one size fits all answer to that because that's so personal. That's so something that you should figure out. But at the very least, I can tell you that that is a more common thing than you think. Many, many, many people are going through this. And I know that because they all came to this inbox. And so I hope you don't feel alone. I hope you have a support system to help you navigate that. Trusted friends, you know, you can talk to your partner about it. I can't tell you what to do. Only you know what is the most important thing. Because some of you are messaging me saying, I want to stay in my marriage. Some of you are saying, I want to leave my marriage. All of that to say, I trust you and you should trust yourself. Ash asked me this actually on our episode at the beginning of the year about trusting yourself and how I learned to trust myself after going through a really, really bad marriage and divorce. Like, how could I believe like my intuition if it led me there? And I think my answer then and my answer now is that I always knew deep down and I just learned to stop shoving down my knowing. You know what I mean? So like you may know deep down and that may be something that you're pushing away. This goes for so many things, but I think especially in relationships, you have that gut feeling. You have that anticipation, you have that anxiety, you know kind of what your next step is, but it's the taking it that's scary. But I don't think that, you know, ending up in a marriage that you don't necessarily want to be in or whatever doesn't mean that you shouldn't trust yourself because probably somewhere in there you knew. So it's just about quieting the rest of it and listening to yourself. That's the advice that I offer you. Okay, let's get into this first one, which is much lighter and much funnier than that. Sometimes I get the fake number app and I text people I know to see what they say. It's embarrassing, but I'm so entertained. Maybe I'm immature, but I love it. Literally my guilty pleasure, but I live in fear. All those texts will be revealed as being sent by me one day. That is, I mean, I feel like the days are numbered for anonymous internet usage. Like I feel like with cybersecurity, we've got to be on the brink of not letting anybody be anonymous. I have no idea how that would be enforced. And maybe it's just a hope of mine because I think trolls, like anonymous troll accounts are one of the most insane concepts to me. Like it's wild to me that's all it takes is just an anonymous username for somebody to release like their worst selves on the internet, not even like to a few friends or one person. It's like, just give somebody an anonymous username and they will go to town. I have never commented on anything anonymously because I live in fear of it being revealed because it's always possible. Like I've seen these stories of people finding, you know, hiring like internet, what's the word for it? Like forensics people and finding out email addresses and stuff. Like it's always possible. And what is it? What does she say in a the Social Network? She says the internet is written in ink. It's permanent. The things that you say, anonymous or not, they're always on there. And it's just that alone. I mean, and besides the fact that I don't think I've ever had the desire to comment anonymously on anything, let alone troll somebody anonymously. But like just knowing that it's our digital footprint, it's there forever. I just can't. It's wild to me. However, this does sound really funny to see what the people you know would say to like an anonymous number. I always entertain those things. My siblings and I think it's hilarious when we get a spam text and we just mess with them and text them for like an hour. We're so entertained by it. It's actually like not a normal thing. But now every time somebody gets a spam text, they go back and forth them and then they send the screenshots of the sibling message. I don't know why we think it's funny, but we do. So yeah, I can imagine having fun with this as long as it's harmless. You know, it's one thing to just like text them like random little normal things. It's another thing to like try and cyberbully them. So yeah, it sounds entertaining. Okay, next confession. When I was 13, I essentially wrote Geronimo Stilton smut. At that age, I don't know who was actually smut, but then I lost the notebook. I'm a grown woman and I'm always a little scared that my mom is going to find it in her filing cabinet or something. So I had to look up who Geronimo Stilton was. I have never heard of this character, but apparently, here, I'll read you the wiki. Geronimo Stilton is an Italian children's chapter book series created by Elisabetta Dami and written under the pen name of the title character. So it's like a little series that you would read in like maybe second or third grade. And Geronimo is a mouse. I believe he's a mouse. Yes. And so she wrote something unspeakable about Geronimo Stilton. Any one of my journals, this is my issue with journaling, is that I'm afraid somebody's going to read it. Like every time I've written a journal entry, like in ink on paper, I'm pretty sure that I have taken it and thrown it away because I'm too scared. Like even like now it's on my phone. And even that I'm like, who could have access to this? It's scary to journal. It's like, you want to write your deepest, darkest thoughts, but then what if somebody one day has access to your deepest, darkest thoughts? Okay. Next one. This is one of the worst. And I'm like hoping this is fake, but like something tells me it's not. I learned that squatting was the best position for pooping. And for some reason, I haven't gotten around to buying a squatty potty. So I can't believe I'm saying this. I'll put toilet paper on the floor and poop onto it while squatting, only in my own bathroom. I don't care if it's your own bathroom. I don't care if you're the only person to ever enter that bathroom. This is barbaric. This is unacceptable behavior. Like, you don't want to buy a squatty potty. Just stack a couple books, man. Okay. Stand on your trash can. Do anything but this. Truly, there's no need in this day and age to take a shit on the floor next to a toilet. We're not doing that. Okay. Next one. My sexual fantasy is a pirate. I think that this is a very tame sexual fantasy, honestly. I mean, I hate Johnny Depp, like most of us should, but him as Captain Jack Sparrow. I mean, I remember when Pirates of the Caribbean came out and we had Orlando Bloom, we had Johnny Depp, and it was like, was it the same year? I'm pretty sure it was the same year as Fellowship of the Ring. So on top of that, we had Legolas, and then we had Aragorn, who I know, whatever, not the same actors, but still the duos, you know, Legolas and Aragorn and Captain Jack Sparrow and Orlando Bloom. I feel like as a millennial woman, every single one of my friends or people like girls that I've interacted with that are my age had some sort of sexual attachment to one of those characters. Maybe all of them. Raise your hand if it was all of them. My hand is raised. All four of them have very specific memories of all of them. Yeah, I feel like that has to be buried deep in there, that Captain Jack Sparrow did something to all of us. This episode of The Bad Broadcast is sponsored by Quince. I love a staple piece. I don't venture out a lot with my clothes. As you guys know, I'm not really one to buy like statement pieces. All right. I like staple pieces that I can wear every day that are going to be really good quality, that are going to be neutral, that I can throw on in a million different ways. Quince has become the place that I shop for really good quality, neutral staples. You can upgrade your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. The prices are so good. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high quality items priced within reach. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. They've got cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, 14 karat gold jewelry, and Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes on the savings to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I actually have a nursing bra from them that I was using while I was nursing, but it's so comfortable. I just kept it and I still use it. They have really great maternity stuff. I think it's a perfect gift for anybody who is expecting in your life. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/bad for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/bad to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Once again, quince.com/bad.
Are you single and struggling with dating or in a long-term relationship and want to take that next step? Or maybe you've been together with your partner forever and you want to spice things up. We Met at Acme is a dating podcast for you, and I really hope you come check it out. I'm Lindsay Metzeler, and we have so much to talk about together. So check out We Met at Acme wherever you listen to podcasts, and I can't wait to meet you.
Okay, next. I've been having an affair with someone pretty famous for many years. Both of our spouses know, both of our spouses know, but both have swept it under the rug. Sorry, the double both there was freaking me out. Everyone keeps living life like normal and no one says anything. It's really bizarre. How do you guys keep your mouth shut is what I want to know. How do you guys not talk about things? Like I will have a feeling, just any feeling, and I'll be like, I need to address that later. Or like, we need to talk about that later. Or I need to tell somebody about that later. The later for me is 15 to 25 seconds. Like, I have never kept anything in, like, ever. I don't know how people don't acknowledge things or don't like, I don't know. I just, it could not be me. It could not be me. I can't even ignore like a slight awkward silence that I experienced, like let alone a whole affair. That's wild. I would love to know who the slightly famous person is, or wait, pretty famous. She said a pretty famous person. I would put that as like a B minus C plus list celeb. Somebody, if I said somebody pretty famous, that would not be an A-list celebrity to me. To me, like the A-listers are people who kind of are bigger than like their, what's the word I'm looking for? Like their, oh my gosh, what's the word? Their discipline, like bigger than their sport or bigger than their movies, like Leonardo DiCaprio or Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan or Brad Pitt or Julia Roberts. Like those are kind of bigger names than what they do. Those are A-listers to me. I feel like people say we have like new A-listers coming in. Like I don't consider, I saw somebody call an influencer, I can't remember who, some like pretty famous TikToker, an A-lister. I don't know if I necessarily consider them A-listers just because they're so new. I feel like A-list is like established. And then you get to the B-listers, which are like, you know, you have to know a little bit about pop culture or celebrities to like know who they are. I'm trying to think of like who I would consider a B-lister. Maybe like, okay, I'm looking at IMDb for B-list celebrities and it's people like Kit Harington, which like, yeah, most people would know who that is. That's actually not a very good example, Kit Harington. But I feel like that's not like a household name, Kit Harington. I mean, he was in one of the most famous TV shows as one of the most famous characters, but he's not like a household name. You know what I mean? Let's see who else they put on here. Sebastian Stan. I can see that. I can see that again, very famous in a very famous franchise, but like, it's not like if you go around to every single household, they would know who they are. Hence not being a household name. Selena Gomez, I would consider an A-lister probably. Taron Egerton. Taron Egerton is a great B-lister that I would say, or that I would agree with. Okay. Let's see what they say for C-listers. I hope this is interesting to you guys because this is riveting information to me. Okay. C-list celebrities. Oh, Katherine Heigl is on there. Interesting. Okay. Katherine Heigl. Yeah, I can see that. Hillary Duff. Hillary Duff is a A-lister. No less than an A-lister in my book. I love Hillary Duff. I told this story on my Instagram, but I have a special needs brother. His name's Travis. He has Reuben-Stein-Tabie syndrome. He's the love of all of our lives. We're obsessed with him. He was obsessed with Hillary Duff when he was younger, and my mom bought him backstage passes to go meet Hillary Duff. It was when she was on tour with her sister, Haley. And they went backstage and they met her and she was so nice. She was so nice and she gave him a big hug and she was so sweet and she took pictures with him. And I loved like that will make me love her forever. Okay. Let's see who else they say is a C-lister. Some of these I haven't heard of. So that absolutely makes sense. These are people who are in very niche. Oh, Tandy Newton. Okay. I can see that. She's in not Homeland. What is it? Westworld. Westworld, Homeland, same thing. Yeah, I can see that like they have one big TV show. Okay. What? They put Kristen Bell on there? No, I would not put Anna from the biggest Disney movie of all time as a C-lister. Okay. Maybe Dax Shepard. No, not even him. Okay. Let's move on from the C-list actors and actresses. Next one. Every paycheck I get goes into my personal checking account and then I will transfer the money to me and my husband's bank account. Sometimes I keep a fraction of the money I earn in checking so I can make or so I can have it for makeup or clothes. I feel guilty, almost like I'm stealing from our money. I mean, people have a lot of different ways that they share money, that they split bills, whatever it might be. But I think that if possible, if your situation allows, that it can't hurt to have some of your own money in a separate account. I don't think that there's anything shady about that or wrong. I think that women should feel just as empowered to spend their money how they want to. And I think that it's really, I just think it's really smart. I think it's smart to have your own account with those things. And it's like, for me, I know that earning my own money and spending it the way I want and then contributing to our life, like I find that really fulfilling, but also I like having my own money. I like having my own account. I like having like, I'm not a crazy spender. I don't do anything weird with my money, but just knowing that like it's mine and I can use it however I want. I mean, Gray would never like put restrictions on what I could and couldn't buy unless I was going insane. But just, I don't know. I like that. I like that I earned it and that I can spend it. And I don't even really have to think about that. You have every right to do that. I mean, if you're feeling weird about it, then maybe tell him. Here's the thing. If you're feeling like you can't tell him because he would be mad, that's where I would be like, okay, that's a weird thing for him to be mad at that. But anyway, it's a relationship specific dynamic. So I won't say that, but I will say that I like having my own account and having my own money and then contributing some of it to our life. We both do that. Like Gray and I both do that. We have our own money and then we have, you know, combined finances where we pay bills and things like that. So yeah, I don't think like, if you would have told me that when I was younger, I would have been like, that's weird. You should share all your money. But I don't believe that anymore at all. Okay. Next one. Sometimes when I'm mad at my husband and he falls asleep, I wipe a booger on his pillow and I don't feel bad. I showed this to Gray and I was like, if the snoring continues, you're going to get boogers in your pillow. Just FYI. Okay. This one, this is like the most common one by far. Like this one, I was kind of shocked, but it was like every other submission was somebody saying that they're still in love with their ex, or they still think about their high school boyfriend, or they think about their ex that they almost married. And currently they're happily married with kids, but they can't stop thinking about their ex. And I mean, again, please find some comfort in the fact that so many people are in this boat, like a lot more than you would think, still think about their ex. I feel like it's totally normal. Also, I want to put a little by the way here, just coming off the heels of my divorce episode. I'm not struggling with this. Okay. I just don't want anybody to worry. Okay. I don't want to offer advice and have people be like, okay, Maddie, we just heard everything that went down and like, we're worried about you now. No, but here's what I have to say about still thinking about like your high school ex or a boyfriend that you had when you were younger. First of all, when you are in a relationship, when you're that young, I feel like it's such a pivotal moment in your development, like your first boyfriend or your first serious boyfriend, like it will be in your frontal cortex forever because you were so young when it happened and the feelings are so strong that they're probably not ever going to go away. At least that's what I think. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. The other thing that is very important to remember is that you are remembering your ex better than they actually are. Here's what I am most convinced of, is that the things that feel unfinished in our mind, they feel like compelling. They feel compelling. Like what could have been, like the what ifs will kill you because it's just this question mark at the end of it. Like you don't even know what happened. You don't know, could it have been great? Could they have been the one? And we start to fill in the blanks of what the relationship could have looked like with things that are not realistic. Like we tell ourselves like, oh, I bet if we were with this person that they would have been like this and this and this, they probably would not be like that. But you don't have the answers yet because all these gaps were left in the relationship. You didn't have closure. You didn't explore the relationship for enough. You weren't together long enough. You didn't have kids together. So you start to fantasize about what they are and they're not actually that. The chances are that you'd be unhappy if you were with them. There's a reason that you're not with them. There's a reason, like all of the things have worked out the way that they should have. You still thinking about them is because when your brain was developing, you had these really strong feelings for this one person who either rejected you or whatever. And now you don't know what could have been, but I'll tell you what could have been. Nothing good. I'm sure of it. I am sure if you guys went back to your high school boyfriends or whoever it was that you had a crush on back then, and you tried to have a life with them, you would hate it. I'm absolutely positive. So try to be more realistic about what you're fantasizing about. And again, so many people are experiencing this. So apparently it's the most normal thing in the world to still think about your ex. I mean, I just think it's normal to think about other people. I don't think that anybody gets in a relationship and never thinks of another person ever again, despite being happy and fulfilled and in love and have no desire to be with anybody else. I think that remembering old relationships or anything like that is so normal. And maybe nobody wants to say it, or maybe we don't want to say it because it sounds like, oh no, should we not be in this relationship? No, of course you should be in the relationship you're in if you're happy and you love the person and they love you and they treat you well. Like there's no reason to uproot your life because you remembered that you were in love with your high school ex, you know, 10 years ago, whatever it is. I think that it's more normal. I don't know. The more I talk about stuff like this, the more I talk about like the mom fails and stuff. It's like, it's weird to me that stuff isn't said more when we all experience so much of it, like the parenting stuff or the mom guilt or, you know, whatever it is. I think people like to scratch the surface and I feel the same way. Like, I don't want to get on here and share every little thing that I do wrong or, you know, things that I think people will judge me for, or the fact that, like, you know, the first couple nights home with a newborn, I actually had serious mental breakdowns that I didn't think I was going to be able to get over. Like, it's hard to say that and then be like, yeah, anybody else? But yes, anybody else. That's happening to a lot of people, a lot of people. The weird things about you are probably more universal than you realize, like thinking about an ex-boyfriend or something. You know what I mean? Okay. Moving on to something a little bit lighter, which I think is worth discussing. Somebody said, Raising Cane's is not even that good. Why does everyone freak out about it? Well, I think that people first freaked out about it because it was like a rare thing. You know, it's like how everybody freaked out when we got our first In-N-Out or our first Shake Shack or whatever. Like, if it's the first of something and it was once in another state, then people love to freak out about it. And then we get a million of them and people are like, is this even that good? Here's my beef with Raising Cane's. No desserts. None. None. And my home Raising Cane's is the Post Malone Raising Cane's. So I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. No sweet treats. Like not even a cookie. Not even one ice cream cone flavor, not a brownie, like nothing. It's crazy to me. I'm sorry. I can't get behind it. I like it. I think that the toast is good. Sauce, overrated. Don't like it. Chick-fil-A is a better chicken tender. I'll admit it. And then people always are like, well, I had it first when I was in, you know, Washington or wherever Raising Cane's is from. I have no idea. I had it first then. And then when it came to Utah, I just like liked it even more because I could go, whatever. Here's my hot take of fast food. I like In-N-Out fries. I like them. Okay. They're some of my favorite. I would choose them over several other places, not over McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, but I would choose them over Wendy's fries 100%. And I felt really bad about myself because I was watching this Dinner Time with David Chang, this like cooking show that Netflix has been doing. And they're talking about In-N-Out. And I love David Chang. I've loved him forever. And he's talking about In-N-Out. And I thought that he was going to be like, well, In-N-Out fries are good and other people are dumb because they don't like them. And he was like, no, they're purposely bad. In-N-Out makes bad fries on purpose so that people like their burgers more. And I was like, wait, but I like the fries. But I quite enjoy them. I didn't know what to do. It really shook me up to see, you know, one of my culinary, I don't know about heroes, but somebody who I like, and I've eaten their food and I've watched their career for a long time, tell me that In-N-Out fries are bad. I thought that I was on the upper echelons of taste by liking In-N-Out fries. Nope. I'm just stupid. Okay. This next one. I stalk everyone on the internet. I already know about your aunt's cousin's dog already. I have started doing something really weird. And so I have a personal account that I no longer use anymore, but that was my account since the beginning of Instagram. Okay. Since I was like 20, how old was I? 18 or 19 when I first got Instagram. And then I abandoned that Instagram when I started the Bad Broadcast. It still exists. All of the pictures are archived. There's nothing on there. I only use Bad Broadcast. However, for some reason, late at night when I'm feeding the baby, I like to go onto my old Instagram and stalk all of the people that I follow on there. Like all of the people from not like my previous life, but like pre-Bad Broadcast. So like all of my old coworkers and all of the people that I went to high school with. And I stalk them when it's late at night and I'm feeding Coco. It's so weird. Like it started because I wanted to see what everybody was naming their kids because I wanted to know. I was first thinking for like future baby names or to see if anybody had like my same baby's name, like whatever. So I was talking to everybody. I now know what everybody's baby was named. Like everybody who I follow or went to high school with. I also just like love seeing their lives. I don't know. I don't follow a lot of people on Bad Broadcast. And so going back and seeing all these people's lives that I have known forever, like there's such a weird, I think it's like comforting to me. It's like I'm self-soothing in the middle of the night, looking at all these familiar faces. Like, you know, there's just people that you just, you've known since you were in elementary school that you just inherently trust because they knew you all through your life. Like those are the people that I follow on my personal account. So seeing their lives. Yeah. It's just, I love it. I don't know. I can't get over it. It's just, it's my favorite thing to do in the middle of the night. So yeah, I stalk everybody and I just love, I love seeing like where everybody's lives are right now. Like how we've all just become parents and business people and, you know, all of this. And it's so weird. I had this moment the other day where I was blow drying my hair and it smelled like my mom. Like it smelled like the smell of like hair being blown dry. It smelled like my mom. Cause I used to always just sit in my mom's bathroom and watch her get ready and watch her blow dry her hair. And so I smelled it and I was like, oh my gosh, that smells like my mom. And then I went and I got Coco and I brought her in and she was like laying on her little mat. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am now mom blow drying my hair. And like one day she will associate this smell with mom. I am mom. I am her. And so it's weird to like look at all of us and all these people who like, it seems like 1 millisecond ago, we were just junior high kids. And now we are mom. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And I was telling Gray, it's weird that like within a few hours that happened. Like one day I was just living my life as normal. And then the next day I was new. I was a mom. I'm for somebody else. My whole life is someone else. Like just you blink and life changes a lot. It's really crazy. All right. Thank you guys for submitting your anonymous confessions. Hope literally anything I said was helpful. You know, sometimes I say stuff. You don't have to take my advice and you certainly don't have to feel bad if I say that I hate something, but you do it. I start to feel really bad. And then we get in this cycle of all of us feeling bad because I like complain about some internet behavior and then somebody does it. And I want to again, reiterate, you don't have to apologize to me for any internet behavior. I promise you, I do something way more annoying that would probably bug the shit out of you. So it's all good. We're all even. It's great. I love you guys. Thanks so much for listening. You can join the Patreon. We are now back to doing 2 bonus episodes a month. I just did an Oscars, like kind of recap thoughts episode. And then also a Love is Blind reaction episode after the finale. What's not the finale? Reunion aired. So you can check those out. And yes, if you sign up for the Patreon, you get access to all of the backlog. So you will be able to still listen to all of the episodes that have come out for the last, man, I think we're like going on a year of doing these episodes. So yeah, you'll have access to all of those if you sign up. And remember to subscribe, rate, review on Apple. That is super helpful. The divorce episode charted, which was crazy. That was really exciting. Remember, folks, drama gets you on the charts. And remember to be safe, be kind, and be hot. And I will see you guys next Monday for a new episode of The Bad Broadcast. Love you so much. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Remember, you can catch a new episode of The Bad Broadcast every Monday. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss anything. Also, I want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast for all the behind-the-scenes action and more information. Talk to you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.